Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Steve, I'll start you right off with this. Pony out on Radio Row hearing a rumor that connects Tyrod Taylor to the Steelers. What is Tyrod Taylor at this point in his career if he ends up in black and gold next year?
Yeah, I think Tyrod. I still think it's Tyrod, despite what they said. I really think he's a bridge quarterback at this point. I mean, his last pretty good season was 2017. He did some nice things early in the year last year for the Texans before he got hurt. But you know, he's a limited quarterback. He does do a good job of taking care of the ball. He can move the chains with his legs a little bit. Probably takes too many negative plays, too many sacks historically. So, you know, I think Taylor is a bridge quarterback and, you know, a serviceable low-end starter, which there's a few of those guys out there, but serviceable low-end starter as teams are looking for their future.
And we're the city of bridges, Steve. So how appropriate that a guy like Taylor finally plays for the Steelers, and if he checks us off the list, then all he needs is the Bengals to play for every team in the AFC North. Do you think he'd be better than Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins?
I think he'd be better than Haskins. I think it's tough with Rudolph. We haven't seen him for that long of an extended period of time, but I think Taylor's upside is probably a little bit higher than Rudolph. What Taylor could bring to the table. Yeah. Early in Tyrod's run as a starter, he was in the deep ball pretty well and creating some chunk plays, but I think it's close between Taylor and Rudolph, though.
Steve, in this year's draft, we know offensive line is extremely strong. And one of the mocks locally here connected the Steelers to Trevor Penning at pick 20. What do you think of him?
He feels pretty Steelerish. He was trying to start fights in the Senior Bowl the whole time. He does need to learn to not throw pass rushers into his quarterback. He almost got Desmond Ridder crushed during a drill because he was trying to show off his power and he threw the pass rusher into Ridder, who was, you know, the quarterback. But look, he's a big dude, small school in Northern Iowa, you know, has that mean streak. I think he's got that power for the run game and everything. So yeah, I think that'd be definitely an interesting fit for the Steelers and probably fits what they want to do offensively.
Steve, do you believe in the Rams team building approach here? Like what they did with the picks they've dealt and going the superstar route and the dream team thing, like that just, I feel like Art Rooney sees that and his head explodes. Like, do you think that that's like, is this like the only team that can pull that off? Or do you think we're going to see copycats this off season?
You see copycat stuff all the time, no matter what. So to pull it off though, I think it has to be, there's a couple things that had to happen to make it work. You have to hit on mid-round picks. You have to hit in rounds 3 through 7. So having Cooper Kupp as the best receiver in the league as a third rounder, you know, that has to, like, coincide with these aggressive moves of getting Jalen Ramsey and Matthew Stafford, right? I mean, that has to happen. I think a team, you have to be really confident that you're going to make the playoffs. You know, part of the calculus that the Rams were working with here is saying that a pick in the 20s, you know, for two straight years is not as valuable as Matthew Stafford for those 2 years, right? That's the way they're, you know, analyzing that. But if you're a team that fails at this and you're picking in the top 10, like the Seahawks, right? I mean, for every Rams team, there's a Seahawks team that traded 2 first-round picks for Jamal Adams, and their roster is getting trashed every year. And Seahawks fans are like, how are we going to get better this year? Oh, no, the 10th overall pick is in New York with the Jets, and we don't have it because Jamal Adams needs to be worth three players. So I think the point of the Rams strategy is, if you're going to make those aggressive moves, it has to be for high-value positions. The upgrade at quarterback with Stafford, Jalen Ramsey has been the most valuable corner in the NFL this year. So there are ways that can work, but you got to hit on those mid-round picks. And you have to make sure that if you're giving up multiple picks for one player, it has to be a highest value position. I think some teams who feel like perennial contenders might try this a little bit more, trading for first-round picks, but the Rams do take it to quite an extreme.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, joining us here on the PM team. Steve, every time, and I'm guilty of this probably more than most because I'm a shallow thinker, every time there is a team that bursts onto the scene and gets to the Super Bowl, maybe unexpectedly, maybe not, has a great young quarterback, my next thought is, are we looking at the next Brady-esque dynasty? So I will just play to type here and say, in the form of the Bengals, who have a ton of cap room, who have a bunch of skill guys in place and can address their O-line this offseason, are we looking at the next Brady-esque dynasty?
All right. Well, now it's real sports talk radio. This is the good stuff here. I'm leaning no. I mean, if you ask me who do I have more faith in going forward over the next 10 years, I'd still say the Chiefs. I still think the Chiefs are the closest thing to that because their nucleus is even stronger than what the Bengals have. But because the AFC is potentially so loaded with the Bills and Josh Allen, with Joe Burrow, I mean, look, getting out of the North next year, I don't think is a given, you know, with Lamar coming back to the Ravens and all that. You know, I mean, it's not going to be – so, no, it's not the next Patriots dynasty, but I think what we might be seeing, though, is the start of a really awesome competitive AFC, which means, yeah, the Steelers got to figure out the starting quarterback situation sooner rather than later, right? I mean, you got to get somebody good because the AFC is getting competitive, and I think the Bengals, all they're going to do is Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and whatever else they can add to this roster when they finally get him an offensive line and all that fun stuff. They're going to be in the mix every single year, so – that's as far as I'll go. Not this full Patriots dynasty just yet.
Pony.
Steve, wish you were out here in L.A. with us, man. We've seen your PFF crew. We look forward to catching up with you again next week, my man.
Yeah, sorry I didn't get to see you guys in person, but yeah, say hello to my friends for me.
Well, I would be intimidated by you because you're like 6'11". So
hold on, Steve. Here's the part of the talk as we end here. That gets us back to more of a safe zone for this show because we don't actually do sports talk. Pony is in L.A. I am on the North Shore of Pittsburgh at the Rivers Casino. Pony is the big deal who's out there. He's very special. FanDuel wanted him out there. So we are both actually working remotely right now, and we did ask Renner earlier in the week about man buns because I'm trying to manage my 3-year-old son's hair.
Renner's and expert, we're also going to eventually need a side-by-side of your hand size versus Pickett's. So that's what we're working on.
Oh, yeah, we could definitely do that. I would crush the combine hand size. 100th percentile plus for me.
All right, Steve. Like, see you, man.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Steve Palazzolo, yep. Pro Football Focus. And, Pony, I think coming up next we have another very special guest, do we not?
Well –
oh, are we just doing this right now? Are we going to?
Let's do it.
We're going to double dip it.
Pop it
on here,
Jeremy.
Let's
go.
You're right. Let's go.
Jeremy, this is the second time we've done this. We got Jeremy Fowler from ESPN.
This is like the Academy Awards here. We shuffled off Steve Palazzolo there, even though we love Steve, because anytime we have a chance to talk to you, Jeremy, it's like immediate go time.
Right. And the last time we did this, we shoot away Tyler Lockett for LeGarrette Blount, who blamed Todd Haley for what happened in Pittsburgh.
That's awesome.
How about that?
That was strategic.
He said he loved Tomlin, that Haley's the guy that caused him to quit the team. Did you know that?
Wow. So I thought it was a byproduct of the Le'Veon Bell situation where he walked out. You don't think that was it? He's saying
he was getting no carries. It was all Bell all the time and very little Blount, which is accurate.
They were so enamored by Bell.
But it was Haley that was in charge of getting him reps and not Tomlin, which I had never heard that before.
Yeah, I can see that.
You covered that team, right?
No, I came in right after. My first season was 15.
Okay.
But I could see that being a problem. Because Haley's organized and all that. I mean, that's, you know, he would be in charge of the snaps.
You know what's so weird about about that, Jeremy, and I'm sure, like, you've heard from a lot of people outside of Pittsburgh about this. Like, Tomlin, it feels like, now has autonomy on defense, and he's letting his offensive coordinator pretty much do what he wants.
Yes, he has his handprints on everything, though. I wouldn't call him a micromanager, but he's not a he's great at delegating, but he also has his hands in everything. Like, you know, he'll go in an offensive meeting. He doesn't just leave those guys alone. He has input. And at times he's inserted himself more depending on the situation. I could see that being the case this year, coming off the year they had offensively. If you got a new quarterback,
right?
Matt Canada is still trying to find his footing. You know, Tomlin has experience on the offensive side of the ball too. So I think he dabbles in just about everything. Not, you know, Belichick does that. Tomlin, I think, to an extent, does that. Maybe not as strongly, but he certainly is involved.
Do you think it happens with GM now? With the GM search that's going on? Like, who they hire, how much authority and power does Tomlin have on the personnel side of things, Jeremy?
I don't think he's going to, like, have final say or assert himself in that area, but he will be involved. I would be
more involved than with Colbert there?
That's a good question. I think it'll be collaborative. You know, Kevin and Mike have worked together really well, so I don't foresee there being any sort of power struggle to get the right guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tomlin's got pretty good relationships with everybody in the building. I know he's a big fan of Brandon Hunt. I don't know if that's enough to push it over the line or not. But the Rooneys, you know, back in the day when they hired Colbert, they went outside the building. They could have easily stayed inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why they're conducting a pretty thorough search here and could do the unexpected.
Would you put it at like 50-50, Jeremy? Or do you get a sense when you talk to people that it's like, yeah, they could do the unexpected, but that's highly unlikely, or they could do the unexpected, and there's a real possibility it actually happens?
If I had to bet, I would say they stay in-house. But it depends on how these interviews go. I think they're still looking at, you know, they're probably going to end up talking to 7 or 8 people, I'd imagine. You know, the Packers co-director of player personnel, John Wojcicki, they'll speak with if they haven't already. Morocco Brown with the Colts, so. You know, they talked to all those people at the Senior Bowl. That was a surprise. I saw Rooney at the Senior Bowl, and then after the fact, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's here interviewing. He's interviewing people. So they're, like, the owner's in pretty heavily with this. And so I don't think they're going to make a rash decision, but, you know, they're casting a pretty wide net here. So if I had to bet, I would say either Hunt or Omar Khan or a variation of both. But that's, you know, I'd probably put that at 51%.
Yep.
Because I think that these guys will make a strong case, especially the guy like Ed Dodds, who's been pretty sought out.
Who's, you know, he, the Colts guy?
He's the Colts assistant GM.
Okay.
Yeah, he's known as very good. I mean, all these guys are good. But this will be – you talk about the four GM jobs that just got filled, Raiders, Vikings. This is the most coveted job without question out of those.
Really?
Oh, no question.
Okay.
Just because of the tradition? Like, is it – I mean, because if you look at the actual roster, yeah, you could put your fingerprints all over it, but, it's not a very good roster right now.
And you're not going to get the job until after the draft, Jeremy. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but it's just different with a place that stable. You
know
what I mean? Like, you're going to get a long run to make it work, you know?
Yep.
And here's why I think it's important that Mike has a say is because, I mean, this guy's working tandem. You have to have a rhythm with the head coach. That's why I think he'll have a say. He's not going to have the say. But he'll be heavily involved. I know he's involved in the process. I think he was involved in the Senior Bowl interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just a hands-on guy in that way, but in a collaborative way.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. I had somebody who does your line of work tell me here not to rule out Tyrod Taylor as their next quarterback. And I almost fainted, Jeremy. Like, that's not where my expectations are. I want to, like, shoot for the moon and end up in the stars with one of these guys.
Right.
I don't want, like, a 33-year-old retread quarterback.
Yeah.
But basically said, hey, Pony, don't get your hopes up here. This is the type of quarterback that they'll probably end up with at the end of the day. Do you see it that way?
So
I value your opinion on this.
I partly see it that way. I think if they zero in on the right guy in the draft, I think the draft would be the more likely outcomes to take the two guys you get, whether it's Pickett or Willis. The problem is I keep going back to the weak quarterback class where – you know, you feel like, and I know some teams feel this way, any 5 of those guys drafted last year in the first 15 picks at quarterback ending with Mac Jones, they would have been the top guy in this class.
Yep.
And that's a bit problematic. But, you know, they'll do a ton of research on the 1 or 2 guys they really like, and maybe they find out that they like him more than most, and then they'll take him. You know, I don't think they would hesitate on that. So if I had to bet right now, I'd say that's more likely than, you know, like a splash veteran. But I think they'll get somebody, whether it's Tyrod. You know, Tyrod's going to be very affordable. That would be just more like to be involved, to be like a guy who could start if needed. You know, and nobody wants to hear this. Jameis Winston would not be a terrible fit.
Well, you know, I don't
Pony,
mind hearing
Pony
that.
Wants to hear
he
that.
He would not just, be a terrible fit.
Whew, I can hear
I
the excitement
I don't think they're going to go that route.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah. He would not be a terrible fit. So I'm still of the belief that anything's possible, except I just don't think they're going to go like the Russell Wilson –
Aaron Rodgers.
Huge route, four first-round picks or whatever it would take. I just don't know. They
Deshaun Watson.
Stretch themselves, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy, one of the things that we talk about a lot on this show, because, like, one of my big beliefs is I would be more than happy, long story short here, to see them draft and bolster the lines, both lines of scrimmage this year, ignore the quarterbacks, even though there's the pick of temptation. Commit to basically being mediocre to bad next year, maybe a 5 or 6 win team, 5-12, 6-11, and then probably have a shot at one of this much deeper class of quarterbacks, assuming these underclassmen, Stroud, Bryce Young, come out. Yet they seem to be devoted to this idea of we are going to try to win as many games as possible every year. That's just how we operate. Was that something that when you took over, you felt like it was tangible that they cared deeply about making sure that they were never going to be bad under any circumstance? Like that there was no room in the franchise for a rebuild year?
For sure. I think that's because that's all they've known. You know, if they lost, it's because it just happened organically. You know, it's this whole, you know, movement of like accepting a little bit of mediocrity to, you know, get advancement for the next year is pretty new. And I just don't think the Steelers have ever bought into that because they haven't really had to, you know. I mean, most franchises would take, you know, a bad year being 8-8, you know, and so, or 9-8 now. And so, you know, I just, the Steelers find a way to grind out a few games, even when they have, you know, a mediocre to bad roster at spots at certain positions. So
your reporting on their wide receivers has gotten a lot of like traction. So there's Juju. What does he do? Where does he end up? Do they give Johnson big money? And then I think you might have said, like, hey, don't be surprised if Claypool is involved in some – was that you? Said, hey, he might be
–
clear that up here.
I did a piece on 20 sleeper trade targets, right?
Okay.
So I would call it informed speculation because it is very early, so it's hard to know, like, exactly what teams are going to trade. But just going through, like, you know, what talking to some other teams about some guys they might be looking for, you know, whether it's teams, you know, veteran agents. I just kind of asked around, and that's one of the names that came up because, you know, there have obviously been some maturity issues. Production was down slightly. You know, if you can get good value, maybe you explore it. You know, I'm not saying he's Martavis Bryant, but that, you know, Martavis Bryant was a very talented, big, tall receiver. Didn't work out. They moved on. This guy, I'm by no means saying he has the same issues as Bryant, but, you know, if – it's one of those things where all of a sudden you start to listen to an offer and then you get an offer, like it happens pretty quickly. So
how about Juju? He made a remark about like the wooden locker rooms and how they're so antiquated and stuff. I know it's just starting to feel like he's
there's not
done.
There's not a TikTok room in the Steelers facility devoted to it specifically.
You know, Jeremy, I was surprised they brought him back last year, but then the bottom fell out
too.
And I just don't.
I was surprised he came back last year. I think he's had some knee issues. And he figured, hey, I'll come back in a one-year deal where I know I can get production with Ben and then reset my own market and then get surgery down the road if I have to, whatever. Didn't work out the way he would have liked. But there's still some fits out there. I mean, he's going to be, you know, I it's hard to project exactly what the market will be, but there's more money to go around this year. So I think he could get himself a nice 2 to 3 year deal somewhere. You know, maybe like a Philly, a team that runs the ball a lot but still needs somebody tough over the middle.
Yep.
You know, I could see that as a fit. And maybe it sounds like he would like to go to Dallas based on, you know, the way he fawned over their locker room. So, but they have so many receivers.
Hey,
I don't know if they go that route.
Anytime we can get you on, I know you don't live in Pittsburgh anymore. You're in Connecticut. We friggin' love it, man.
Yeah, Jeremy
thanks, Fowler. You're the best,
bro. Thanks for having me, guys.
You staying for the game and everything? You're here all week?
I'm here, yeah.
Awesome.
I leave Monday, so we're locked and loaded.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, man. Good to see you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.